John chapter 16 in your Bibles. We'll look here at verses 5 through 15, I believe. Monday, we said we'd look through 1 through 15, and we went to 1 to 4. So we'll see how far we get. We only have, again, about 22 minutes or so we'll get as far as we can in that time. Let's look at these verses, and then we'll come back and review them. Verse number 5 here says, "But now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? But because I have have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for me to go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you, and when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine, therefore said I that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you." I just want to take these short few minutes here and discuss the ministry of the Spirit of God, the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Just based on this, there's obviously other things that we could discuss. I'm going to get rid of this. Enjoy the cooler weather here. There's other things that we could discuss concerning the Spirit of God. But we're going to primarily stay right here with his ministry that Jesus gave us the information here. Of course, we know that he assists us in prayer, and we know that there's grace and that he helps us in trials and so forth. Produces the fruit of the Spirit in our lives as we yield to him. But outside of that, these things that Jesus said, I believe we can look at. We can say, okay, this is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And again, not to mitigate or not to leave out the other things or to make them seem less important. We're just going to look here at these things. So it says that when he has come, he's going to reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. We've got basically four things that he's going to do. There's going to be reproof of sin, righteousness, and judgment. That's three things. And then there's going to be teaching. Guiding and teaching. Leading, guiding, teaching. That's all part of one thing, I believe. So, reproving means to bring people to an understanding of something. Now, reproof in its most literal explanation would be like if I told Daryl something and I gave him a certain truth. I said, "Daryl, you know, your beard is very important. You need to let it grow, and you need to take good care of it and everything." And then I come by and I see Daryl, and half his beard's shaven off and half of it's not shaven off. We're not talking about sin here, okay? I mean, that's pretty close though. But I come to him, I say, "Daryl, didn't I tell you this is what your beard's supposed to be like? It's important. Not supposed to be half there, half not there." What I was doing was I was reproving him. It wasn't the first time I told him. It was after the first time I told him. Okay. So reproof is something that you already know or should already know, and now you're it's brought to your attention again. Okay, so
he's reproving the world of three things: sin, righteousness, and judgment. And then Jesus tells us here what each of those things, or why he's doing each of those things, and how, so to speak. So, first of all, here in verse number 9, it says, of sin, because they believe not on me. Now, I think it's interesting that he says that he's going to reprove the world of sin because they don't believe on Jesus. Is that the only sin? No. But it's the only thing that can cure sin. And so he reproves the world of sin because they've not believed on him. Now, I would say even further though, even as a Christian, the Holy Spirit has a ministry of reproving Christians of sin as well. Now, we do recognize that he reproves the world, which generally speaking throughout the Bible, the world is not the world of Christianity. It's the world as in the system of this world and all those that are involved in it. Generally speaking, we're talking about the lost world, okay? But I believe that it also can apply to Christians, that he reproves them of sin. Now, even in the Christian life, now, and I'm not trying to say that, you know, we lose our salvation and he reproves us of sin, we need to get saved. Again, that's not the case. Of course, once you're saved for eternity, you're sealed with the Spirit of promise. That's another one of the things that he does. He never leaves us nor forsakes us. Jesus never leaves us nor forsakes us through the ministry of the Spirit, because he sent the Comforter. But the reproof of sin in the Christian's life still applies to believe not on Jesus. Although, I got a couple of strange looks. Although, it's not a matter of you don't believe at all. It's a matter of you don't have the faith to overcome that sin. You've not trusted Christ to deliver you from that sin. You see, our salvation, Christ delivers us from the penalty of sin, and he delivers us from the power of sin up front. When you trust Christ, he makes you a new creature, and you don't have to sin anymore. You will, but you don't have to. You don't have to. He gives you the power over sin. You don't have to. In fact, he says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. It says, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. He says, you're not under the law, but under grace. That doesn't mean that that the law doesn't apply to you anymore. It means that you're not under the law to be in bondage to sin, but rather you're under grace, which is the power and ability to overcome sin. But the way that we overcome sin is through faith. In Romans chapter 1, as we're going to look at that when we get into the book of Romans, that's our next study after we finish John, here in about 2 or 3 years. When we look at Romans chapter 1, we're going to see, Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. So if we're going to walk in righteousness, if we're going to walk by faith, or rather if we're going to walk unreproved of sin, it's because we're walking by faith. You see, the Spirit of God is going to reprove us of sin. You know, it's interesting, when you do something wrong, what happens? God tells you. If you're born again today and you do something wrong, God says, hey, cut that out. That's not okay. You can't just do that. You can't get away with that. You see, back before we were saved, we can get away with murder just about.
We can get away with whatever our conscience would allow us to get away with.
But the conscience of man is fallen. The conscience of man is not sufficient enough to keep you out of trouble. Only as far as you've trained it. And the conscience can be seared, just like the conscience can be trained. Some people can train their conscience to keep them in line so far that they could be doing something that's not sin and think it's sin because they've trained their conscience to think that. So, that's where that concept of the Christian liberty comes in, because some people have in their zeal to obey God and to be righteous, they've trained their conscience to have problems with things that God doesn't necessarily have problems with. And so when that happens, it's not necessarily a wrong thing, but if I take things that I train my conscience to have a problem with, but they're not scripturally wrong, but it's a matter of a standard for me to keep me from the scripturally wrong things, well, then I say to Daryl or to Steve over here, I say to one of these guys, hey, this is the way we got to do things. It's got to be X, Y, Z, just like that. And, you know, all the ducks in a row, you know, hey, when you walk into church, it's left foot first. What? Left foot first? Where's that come from? Well, that came from my military training. Everything starts with the left foot. Right? You get into, you know, you get into position and say, forward, march, left. Right? That's the first thing, right? Yeah. Left foot. So, So in my mind, and literally, everything I do without even thinking about it, left foot first. When I take off from somewhere, and sometimes I'll go right foot and I'll hesitate to stop and go left foot, just because it's been drilled into there. But, what's that?
Same step.
Yeah, and sometimes when I'm walking with other people, I'm paying attention to their steps. And I'm trying to either stay in step or keep them in step. And I'm like, wait a minute, what am I doing?
you went in the military?
I just 6 years. But yeah, I've been in the State Guard for 3 years. So. Well, I'm one of those kind of people that likes to do things, you know. Again, you know, I've trained my conscience. I like to do things, dress right, dress, as they say in the military. I like to do things just as they should be. As much as possible, anyways. Yeah, I got medically discharged. But anyways, when we get into sin, I'm talking about all this conscience thing. The conscience isn't sufficient to keep us in line. We need the Spirit of God to remind us. We need the Spirit of God to remind us what we're supposed to be doing and what we're not supposed to be doing. You see. And by the way, in case anybody wants to think about this here, some people may say, well, God's Spirit led me to do that. God's Spirit wouldn't allow me to do that. Well, first check of what God's Spirit is really doing is in verse 13. I'm sorry, it's in verse 13. It says, He'll guide you into all truth. It says, For He shall not speak of Himself. But whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He's not speaking of himself. In fact, you're going to find as we look at this and other passages, and have looked at other passages, that the Spirit is speaking what the Father has spoken through the Son in His Word. You'll never, ever, ever have God disagree with Himself. He'll never disagree with himself. If somebody says, well, the Spirit of God told me that I needed to divorce my wife and marry this other woman. No, he didn't. No, he didn't. Because the Word says he hates divorce. He hates adultery. He hates that. He's not going to disagree with himself. If somebody says, well, the Spirit of God said I need to get a job as a bartender.
Wrong. He's not going to disagree with himself. He says in Proverbs chapter 20, verse 1, that wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. Whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. And he says all through the Bible, woe unto him that giveth his neighbor drink. Well, I guess that means I can't be a bartender, right? The Spirit of God is going to lead us and guide us into all truth. Jesus said, sanctify them by thy word. Thy word is truth. And so he's always going to agree with his word. So when he's going to reprove us of sin. I know I just kind of jumped ahead to the other one there on the guidance thing. But he's going to reprove us of sin. When we're off into sin, he's going to come and get in our business. I'm just going to let it go. The Bible says in Hebrews that God dealeth with his children as with sons. He dealeth with us as with sons. If you're born again today, if you're saved by the blood of Jesus, the Spirit of God deals with us, and God the Father deals with us as sons. And which father that loves his son will just let him get away with doing wrong? None of them. Every father that loves a child, but, and the Bible says if you spare the rod, you hate your son. And so, if, and that's not saying that, hey, you know, beat him because you feel like it. It's talking about chastisement because they've done wrong and you're trying to get them back in the way. You're getting them in the right way. You're reproving them of sin. And by the way, chastisement, I don't know if there's any parents in here, but chastisement is reproof. Chastisement is not your initial instruction. You know, when the child has never known that they can't do that thing, or that they can do that, or that they should be doing this thing, if you didn't tell them to take out the trash, you don't beat them for not taking it out. You know, reproof. Okay, now you don't beat them anyways, in the sense of the word that we use today. But there's if there's reproof, or if there's an initial command, I say, son, take out the trash. And then he doesn't take out the trash. Or if I say, son, I need you to take out the trash every Monday night. And he doesn't take out the trash. It's Tuesday morning. Son, you didn't take out the trash. Sometimes reproof isn't always a whipping, you know. Sometimes it's, hey, you didn't take out the trash. Sorry, but you're not playing any games this week. You know, that might be. Or for adults, what is it that God does? Son, you messed up. Your car just broke down. Ooh. What's he do? For adults, you messed up. I'm taking it right out of here. That's the way God deals with us, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's the way he deals with us. Hey, you know what though? It's really neat. God set up. He set up his creation that way. When you do right, you succeed.
When you do wrong, you stay where you're at.
Well, you sometimes go backwards. Yeah. Go the wrong way. When you stay where you're at, you stay where you're at. When you do right, when you do better, better things happen. This says, reprove the world of sin. See, I could do a whole message on this, and then we could do a whole message on righteousness too, but we're gonna make it all one message. Of righteousness. Because he says, I go to the Father. You know why he said it that way? Because Jesus was leaving. Wait a minute. Jesus was leaving. And so therefore, the Spirit is going to reprove the world of righteousness. How does that connect? Well, it connects because Christ is our perfect example of righteousness. And while he was here, everybody can look at him and say, that's righteousness. But when he went to the Father, they needed the Spirit of God to show them what's righteousness. You know how messed up we are in our world today on what is righteous and what's not righteous?
I mean, people think that there's so many common things.
I've had, you know, you got the old school guys, all right, that
the conscience and the community training has taught them that there's a certain level of respect, a certain level of decency, certain level of appreciation that's required from everybody.
But today,
society doesn't teach that. The conscience has been seared so many times that all too often people have this mentality of, hey, give me that. Sorry, didn't mean to disturb you there. They have this mentality of, you owe me. And if you don't give me what you owe me, even though you don't really owe me, I'm offended. That's the wrong mentality. The mentality is, what can I do to produce some value for others? If I want to take care of myself, I want to take care of my family, I'm going to produce value for others that's going to be worth them paying me to produce. And they see that value, they say, oh, okay, hey, this guy is worth something. And so I'll help him out.
Now, the Spirit of God has to show us righteousness. Now, that's just one example of what we call diligence in the Bible.
It's a biblical character trait of diligence, biblical character trait of
service. That's just one aspect, but the Word of God tells us that the Spirit of God is going to reprove of righteousness. He's going to show us what righteousness looks like. And as we learn more of Him, as He guides us in all truth, we're shown more and more of that righteousness. The sun's coming out. It's beautiful. And the last thing, the judgment. And it says of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I want to be quick on this point because we're already over time, actually. The prince of this world is judged. And that should give us enough logic to know that if he's judged, we're judged. Anybody know who the prince of this world is? The devil is the prince of this world. He's the prince of the power of the air. He's the god of this world. But he's judged. He's not going to get away with his wickedness. And we're not going to get away with ours. You see, hell was created for the devil and his angels. But all those who reject Christ will see that same judgment to come. So he says that the Spirit of truth, when he's come, he's going to guide you into all truth. And I believe we've already covered that in the other points. He's going to show us the truth. He's going to guide us into all truth. And the Spirit of God is going to work in us both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your Word. We thank You for the privilege of being able to look at these few passages or a few verses here. And we pray, Father, that You'd help us to put these to practice in our lives. Lord, we pray, Father, that we would understand and see when You're working in our lives to reprove us of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Lord, I pray if anybody's here today and they've not believed on Jesus Christ as their Savior, pray, Lord, that they would turn to You even now from their sin as You reprove them of it and trust You as their Savior. And Lord, we pray, Father, that You'd be with each that are born again. Lord, help them, Father, to live this. And Lord, to seek to know You better and to be led of You through Your Word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.